Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, we just went through a couple of computer glitches. I was in the middle of receiving a Microsoft update, you know, the kind in which you can't turn your computer off. And as I was receiving that update, I inadvertently double booked shows for this hour. Normally, Blog Talk Radio will not allow you to make that mistake. So I'm pointing it out because this is the rare opportunity for them to fix their system, because I had a situation where I was able to book double shows, and then when I pulled up the site at the same time, it kept saying, you are not, you have an episode that's past due. You're supposed to start minutes ago. And so I had to wait for the update to finish because you can't turn the computer off. So I tried to restart it. So then I went and pulled up all my shows, and I saw my error. I had double booked. So I deleted one, although I was on the air broadcast. Well, it's quite possible that the one I deleted was the one I was broadcasting from, although they're both at the same time, if that makes any sense. This computering. And if you don't know anything about programming and streaming, there is a high probability that although I had called in on one show, it was not the same URL as the other show or the same connection at the same time, same number, whatever. So I deleted that extra show, which was the one I booked yesterday, and I didn't think I'd booked that. And now I'm back here on what I had booked today. Sorry for the glitch, but, you know, these things happen. And so when I download this show after the conclusion, it'll tell me exactly what I listened to the audio, whether or not I was correct in my thesis that just split a computer hair and was broadcasting on one show that was not being broadcast loudly because I had deleted the show. Sounds technical, and it is. Anyway, we were listening to Malcolm X, The Ballad of the Bullet. Let me make sure that all of my musical features are working. So we'll be back in a minute or two or three.
Thank you.
government itself has failed us. And the white liberals who have been posing as our friends have failed us. And once we see that all these other sources to which we turn have failed, we stop turning to them and turn to ourselves. We need a self-help program. A do-it-yourself philosophy. A do-it-right-now philosophy. It's already too late philosophy. This is what you and I need to get with. And the only way we're going to solve our problem is with a self-help program. Before we can get a self-help program started, we have to have a self-help philosophy. Black nationalism is a self-help philosophy. What's so good about it, you can stay right in the church where you are and still take black nationalism as your philosophy. You can stay in any kind of civic organization that you belong to and still take black nationalism as your philosophy. You can be an atheist and still take black nationalism as your philosophy. This is a philosophy that eliminates the necessity for division and argument. But if you're black, you should be thinking black. And if you're black and you're not thinking black at this late date, well, I'm sorry for you. Once you change your philosophy, you change your thought pattern. Once you change your thought pattern, you change your attitude. Once you change your attitude, it changes your behavior pattern. And then you go on into some action. As long as you've got a sit-down philosophy, you have a sit-down thought pattern. And as long as you think those sit-down thoughts, you'll be in some kind of sit-down action. So that you're sitting in everywhere. It's not so good to refer to what you're going to do as a sit-in. Then right there, frustration. Right there, it brings you down. What goes with it? What think of the image of someone sitting? An old woman can sit. An old man can sit. A chump can sit. A coward can sit. Anything can sit. Well, you and I have been sitting long enough, and it's time today for us to start doing some standing and some fighting. Thank you. When we look like in other parts of this earth upon which we live, we find that black, brown, red, and yellow people in Africa and Asia are getting their independence. They're not getting it by singing, "We Shall Overcome." No, they're getting it through nationalism. It is nationalism that brought about the independence of the people in Asia. Every nation in Asia gained its independence through the philosophy of nationalism. Every nation on the African continent that has gotten its independence brought it about through the philosophy of nationalism. And it will take great nationalism that to bring about the freedom of 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country where we have suffered colonialism for the past 400 years. America is just as much a colonial power as England ever was. America is just as much a colonial power as France ever was. In fact, America is more so a colonial power than they. Because she's a hypocritical colonial power behind it. What do you call second-class citizenship? Why, that's colonization. Second-class citizenship is nothing but 20th century slavery. How are you going to tell me you're a second-class citizen? They don't have second-class citizenship in any other government on this earth. They just have slaves and people who are free. Well, this country is a hypocrite. They try and make you think they set you free by calling you a second-class citizen. No, you're nothing but our 20th century slave. Just as they broke nationalism, the move to remove colonialism from Asia and Africa, it'll take great nationalism today to remove colonialism from the banks and the minds of the 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country. And 1964 looks like it might be the year of the ballot or the bullet. Why does it look like it might be the year of the ballot or the bullet? Because Negroes have listened to the trickery and the lies and the false promises of the white man now for too long. And they're fed up. They've become disenchanted. They've become disillusioned. they become dissatisfied. And all of this has built up frustrations in the black community that makes the black community throughout America today more explosive than all of the atomic bombs the Russians can ever invent. Whenever you got a racial powder keg sitting in your lap, you're in more trouble than if you had an atomic powder keg sitting in your lap. When a racial powder keg goes off, it doesn't care who, it knocks out the way. Understand this, it's dangerous. And in 1964, this seems to be the year. Because what can the white man use now to fool us? After he's put down that march on Washington, and you see all through that now. He tricked you, had you marching down to Washington. Yeah, had you marching back and forth between the feet of a dead man named Lincoln and another dead man named George Washington, singing, "We shall overcome." He made a chump out of it. He made a fool out of it. He made you think you were going somewhere, and you end up going nowhere but between Lincoln and Washington. So today, our people are disillusioned. They become disenchanted. They become dissatisfied. And in their frustrations, they want action. And in 1964, you see this young black man, this new generation, asking for the vote ballot or the vote. That old Uncle Tom action is outdated. The young generation don't want to hear anything about the odds are against us. What do we care about odds? When this country here was first being founded, there were 13 colonies. The whites were colonized. They were fed up with its taxation without representation. So some of them stood up and said, "Liberty or death." So I went to a white school over here in Mason, Michigan. The white man made the mistake of letting me read his history book. He made the mistake of teaching me that Patrick Henry was a patriot. And George Washington wasn't nothing non-violent about old man or George Washington. Liberty of death was what brought about the freedom of whites in this country from the English. They didn't care about the odds. Why, they faced the wrath of the entire British Empire. And in those days, they used to say that the British Empire was so vast and so powerful when the sun would never set on it. This is how big it was. Yet these 13 little scrawny states, tired of taxation without representation, tired of being exploited and oppressed and degraded, told that big British Empire, "Liberty or death." And here you have 22 million Afro-Americans, black people today, catching more hell than Patrick Henry ever saw. I'm here to tell you, in case you don't know it, that you got a new generation of black people in this country who don't care anything whatsoever about us. They don't want to hear you old Uncle Tom Hankerson head talking about the United States. This is a new generation. If they're going to draft these young black men and send them over to Korea or South Vietnam to face 800 million Chinese. If you're not afraid of those odds, you shouldn't be afraid of these odds. Why does this loom to be such an explosive political year? Because this is the year of politics. This is the year when all of the white politicians are going to come into the Negro community. You never see them until election time. You can't believe them until election time. They're going to come in with false promises. And if they make these false promises, they're going to see our frustration. And this will only serve to make matters worse. I'm no politician. I'm not even a student of politics. I'm not a Republican, nor a Democrat, nor an American. And got sense enough to know. I'm one of the 22 million victims of the Democrats. One of the 22 million black victims of the Republicans, and one of the 22 million black victims of Americanism. And when I don't speak as a Democrat or a Republican, nor an American. I speak as a victim of America's so-called democracy. You and I have never seen democracy. All we see is hypocrisy. When we open our eyes today and look around America, we see America not through the eyes of someone who has enjoyed the fruits of Americanism. We see America through the eyes of someone who has been the victim of Americanism. We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare. We haven't benefited from America's democracy. We've only suffered from America's hypocrisy. And the generation that's coming up now can see it. And I'm not afraid to say it. If you go to jail, so what? If you're black, you were born in jail. If you're black, you were born in jail. In the North as well as the South. Stop talking about the South. Long as you're south of the Canadian border, you're south. Don't call Governor Wallace a Dixie governor. Romney is a Dixie governor. Million black victims of Americanism are waking up, and they're gaining a new political consciousness, becoming politically mature. And as they develop this political maturity, they're able to see the recent trends in these political elections. They see that the whites are so evenly divided that every time they vote, the race is so close, they have to go back and count the votes all over again. And this is which means that any minority that has a block of votes that stick together is in a strategic position. Either way you go, that's who gets it. You're in a position to determine who goes to the White House and who stays in the doghouse. You're the one who has that power. You can keep Johnson in Washington, D.C., or you can send him back to his Texas cotton patch. You're the one who sent Kennedy to Washington. You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump. In what Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives, there are 257 who are Democrats. Only 177 are Republicans. In the Senate, there are 67 Democrats. Only 33 are Republicans. The party that you have controls two-thirds of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and still they can't keep their promise to you because you're a chump. Anytime you throw your weight behind a political party that controls two-thirds of the government, and that party can't keep the promise that it paid to you during election time, and you are dumb enough to walk around continuing to identify yourself with that party, you're not only a chump, but you're a traitor to your race. And what kind of alibi do they come up with? They try and pass the buck. Now, back during the days when you were blind, deaf, and dumb, ignorant, politically immature, naturally you went along with that. But today, as your eyes come open and you've developed political maturity, you're able to see and think for yourself. And you can see that a Dixocrat is nothing but a Democrat in disguise. You look at the structure of the government that controls this country. It's controlled by 16 senatorial committees and 20 congressional committees. Of the 16 senatorial committees that run the government, 10 of them are in the hands of Southern segregationists. Of the 20 congressional committees that run the government, 12 of them are in the hands of Southern segregationists. And they're going to tell you and me that the South lost the war. Today have in the hands of a government of segregationists, racists, white supremacists, who belong to the Democratic Party but disguise themselves as Dixocrats. A Dixocrat is nothing but a Democrat. Whoever runs the Democrats is also the father of the Dixocrat. And the father of all of them is sitting in the White House. I say it again. You got a president who's nothing but a Southern segregationist. From the state of Texas, they are lynching in Texas, they're struck as they're lynching in Mississippi. Only in Texas, they lynch you with a Texas accent. In Mississippi, they lynch you with a Mississippi accent. And the first thing the Cracker does when he comes in power, he takes all the Negro leaders and invites them for a coffee to show that he's all right. And those Uncle Toms can't pick up the coffee. Away from the coffee table, telling you and me that this man is all right. Because he's from the South. And since he's from the South, he can deal with the South. What is the logic that they're using? What about Eastland? He's from the South. Make him the president. If Johnson is a good man because he's from Texas, and being from Texas will enable him to deal with the South, Eastman can deal with the South better than Johnson. Well, I say, you've been misled. You've been hit. You've been tough. Senators were filibustering. I noticed in the back of the Senate a huge mess. And on this map, it shows the distribution of Negroes in America. And surprisingly, the same senators that were involved in the filibuster were from the states where there were the most Negroes. Why were they still about them, the civil rights legislation? Because the civil rights legislation is supposed to guarantee voting rights to Negroes in those states. And those senators from those states know that if the Negroes in those states can vote, those senators are down the drain. The representatives of those states go down the drain. And in the Constitution of this country, it has a stipulation wherein whenever the rights, the voting rights of people in a certain district are violated, then the representatives who are from that particular district, according to the Constitution, is supposed to be expelled from the county. Now, if this particular aspect of the Constitution was enforced, why, you wouldn't have a tracker in Washington, D.C. When you expel the Democrat, you're expelling the Democrat. When you destroy the power of the Democrat, you're destroying the power of the Democratic Party. So how in the world can the Democratic Party in the South actually side with you in sincere when all this power is based in the inner South? These modern Democrats are like the hoops with the Southern Democrats. They're playing a giant con game, a political con game. You know how it goes. One of them comes to you and makes things for you. And he's in cahoots with the other one that's not for you. Why? Because neither one of them is for you. But they got to make you go with one of them or the other. So this is a con game. Here's what have they done with you and me all these years? First thing, Johnson got off the plane. When he became president, he asked Frank Dickey. You know who Dickey is? Dickey, oh, Southern Franco, Richard Russell. But yeah. Lyndon D. Johnson's best friend is the one who is ahead, who's heading the forces that are filibustering civil rights legislation. You tell me how in the hell is he going to be Johnson's best friend? How can Johnson be his friend and your friend too? No, that man is too tricky. That's an even friend and still old Dickie. Well, the Negroes keep the Democrats in power, they're keeping the Democrats in power. Is this true? A vote for a Democrat is nothing but a vote for a Democrat. I know you don't like me saying that. I'm not the kind of person who come here and say what you like. I'm going to tell you the truth whether you like it or not. I'm hearing the wrong, they have the same thing. The Democratic Party don't do it. They don't do it this way. They got a thing that they call gerrymandering. They maneuver you out of power. Even though you can vote, they fix it so you vote with the know how. They get you going and coming. In the South, they're outright political wolves. In the North, they're political foxes. A fox and a wolf are both canines. They belong to the dog family. You're going to choose a northern dog or a southern dog. Because either dog you choose, I guarantee you, you will still be in the doghouse. This is why I say it's a ballot for the vote. It's liberty or death. It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody. America's today finds yourself in a unique situation. Historically, revolutions are bloody. Oh, yes, they are. They have never had a bloodless revolution or a nonviolent revolution. This don't happen even in Hollywood.
Thank you.
Overcome the tendency to be these type of traits that always exist in our neighborhood. And the reason this energy exists is a strategy of the great means of all those things, divine conquer. He gives us divine in order to conquer us. He tells you I'm for separation and you for integration and keep us fighting with each other. No, I'm not for separation and you're not for integration. But you and I are far as free. And if you think that integration will get you freedom, then separation will get me free. We both got the same objective. We have different ways of getting at it. So I studied this man, Billy Graham, who preaches white nationalism. That's what he preaches. Hey, that's what he preaches. If all
your bicycle, we got a bicycle theft ring. Block your gate, they'll steal your bottles and cans. And then stole all the Home Depot baskets. Now they got them over in the hood on every other corner, all the way to Broadway, stealing bicycles. I've been recycling and I did it professionally and I still do it as a hobby. You don't come across functional bikes often. I looked at one brother, he wasn't one, like everybody's a brother, but it was one Hispanic truck, white truck. All of those bikes were very usable. And he was fronting as he was recycling. Problem is, he got in my way and they produced the firearm. Problem now. You people aren't been paying attention to your own hood. Y'all just act as if shit is normal. It's not. It's organized. And it's organized by your neighbors.
My name is D-Nice.
Or friends.
G. Yo, I need
the encore, y'all. You should welcome me back. You want to
That was born with cabbage, the mirepoix, and the stock. And then we made the dumplings with the eggs, the flour. And I'm going to show you how to cut these in. So I got a little cutting board like this. Put a little bit of water on it and a bench scraper. If you don't have a bench scraper, you can do this with a knife, too. And you take some of that dumpling dough and you just cut it into the soup as it's simmering. So see the dumplings on here, and you just take it and you cut the dumplings right in. And then between each cut, you dip the scraper into the soup so so nothing sticks. And then once these dumplings come to, once they float to the top, then they cook for about another 3-4 minutes, and then they're good to go. And that's what we have over here. Where you can see all that goodness. A little bit of this first one.
Okay.
And I like to finish it with a little bit of fresh dill,
yes,
which Pap would do, and even a little bit of fresh horseradish sometimes would be another thing to finish it with.
Please, sir.
Yes, sir. You make sure you get plenty of dumplings. You would always make some dumplings on the side, too, because the dumplings are a favorite part. I would sprinkle a little bit more fresh dill
on it.
Okay. Take that one. And then, again.
Again. Just like the pear crunch pie, we've heard so much about this, and over the years we've been, you know, trying it, and like.
Well, the interesting thing is that you're talking about this, I think, before on the show or behind the scenes. Pap loves Carla.
Loves Carla. He's like, every time I talk to Pap, he's always like, that Carla makes me laugh. I'm like, hey, Pap, how's mine? And I'm getting, oh, I love that Carla. She's so funny. And he talks to Carla. She makes my Pap happy every day, and I love you for that.
And Pap, I'm going to tell you what. Love your
food.
Oh, so delicious.
It's really delicious, Pat. I don't know what you think of me. Maybe
he doesn't even love me as much.
It's really great. Now, speaking of family favorites, all hour long we're getting surprise messages from our loved ones. And Michael, I'm going to help out with this next page. Okay, so let's take a look.
Oh. Hey, Dad. It's me, Ozzy. I know I look tough, but I'm really a big softy.
And I love you a lot. P.S. I know I've been banned from the couch, but sometimes when you're not home, I sneak in a little couch time. Mom said it was okay.
Happy Thanksgiving!
We finally made it! You have been wanting Ozzy.
Oh, this is Dude, I feel like, we all love our pets around here. We're a little oddly obsessed. But Mary always gets so much FaceTime. I'm like, what about poor Ozzy?
Ozzy.
I know. Ozzy made it, you guys.
Love Ozzy.
No, because Mary's on here, Willie's made it. Ozzy, you finally made it to the shoe. We love you.
Great to see you, buddy.
I'm next. Here is Monique and the Tea Talk joining us. We're going to hear things. Get up, get going. It's your best day ever because Ashley Home Store's Black Friday event is going on now. Get up to 50% off or choose 72 months no interest this week only. Shop amazing doorbuster deals you can't afford to miss. Only $5.95 for a sofa and a love seat or a power sofa and recliner set for $9.95. Only $1.45 for an entertainment center. And bed start at $1.45. Ashley Home Store's Black Friday event going on now. This is home.
Spread a little love today. Spread a little love my highway. Spread a little love into the
Philadelphia cream cheese, made with fresh milk and real cream, makes your recipes their holiday favorite. The holidays are made with Philly.
Nick was born cool. Three toddlers won't stop him, and nine of a lower back pain. Because at the Dr. Scholl's kiosk, he got a recommendation for a custom fit orthotic to relieve his foot, knee, and lower back pain from being on his feet. Dr. Scholl was born to move.
Hey, changing your cat's litter? Then change your cat's litter to Arm & Hammer Slide. The amazing litter that slides out without scraping or scrubbing and guarantees a 7-day odor-free home. So slide on over to Arm & Hammer.
It's all pop culture trivia, but it gets pretty intense.
Wow.
He looks exactly like me. Separated at birth much? Please switch, Nick.
Thank you.
the bottles.
Come on, good.
All the famous women pushing the models.
I see you driving
sports cars.
Ain't hitting a throttle.
And I be down.
I do 100 tops down and gobble.
Get off the freeway.
Exit 106 and park it.
Ashtray.
Good day, time to spark it. Gucci collar for dollar, got out and walked it. I speak English, baby, I can't talk it.
Whoa,
sweating it.
Hot up in this joint.
Vocal,
tank top on at this point.
You with a winner, so baby, it can't lose.
I got secrets, can't leave Cancun.
So take it off like you're home alone.
You know that.
In the mirror while you're on the phone,
checking your reflection and telling your best friend,
like, girl,
I think my butt getting big.
Oh,
it's getting hot in here,
so hot.
So take off all your clothes.
Oh, I am getting so hot.
Oh, it's getting hot in here,
so hot.
So take off all your clothes.
Oh, I am getting so hot.
Let it hang on.
Out.
Mix a little bit of with a little bit of let it just fall.
Whip up your mac and cheese in our prep kitchen so we can have a taste. Doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy. It takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star. She was very beautiful, leaving people in awe. Singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version. Hung with the wrong person, got a strong one at her when cocaine, sniffing up drugs, all in her nose. Could have died so young, now looks ugly and old. No fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath, cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep and the crowds you bring, cause they came to do drugs and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how. Put your hands in the air and take the vow. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. For grown looking girls who's only 10, the ones who watch videos and do what they see, as cute as can be, up in the club with fake ID. Careful, before you meet a man with HIV, you can host a TV like Oprah Winfrey. Whatever you decide, be careful, some men be rapists, so act your age, don't pretend to be older than you are. Give yourself time to grow. You're thinking he can give you wealth, but so young boys, you can use a lot of help, you know. You're thinking life's all about smoking weed and ice. You don't want to be my age and can't read and write, begging different women for a place to sleep at night. Smart boys turn them in and do whatever they wish. If you believe you can achieve, then say it like this. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. Came to this country, we were kings and queens, never porch monkeys. There was empires in Africa called Kush, Timbuktu, where every race came to get books to learn from black teachers who taught Greeks and Romans, Asian Arabs, and gave them gold. When gold was converted to money, it all changed. Money then became empowerment for Europeans. The Persian military invaded, they heard about the gold, the teachings, and everything sacred. Africa was almost robbed naked. Slavery was money, so they began making slave ships. Egypt was the place that Alexander the Great went. He was in shock that the mountains were black faces. Shot up their nose to impose what basically still goes on today, you see. If the truth is told, the youth can grow. They learn to survive until they gain control. Nobody says you have to be gangsters, hoes. Read more, learn more, change the globe. Ghetto children, do your thing. Hold your head up, little man, you're a king. Young princess, when you get your wedding ring, your man is saying, she's my queen. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music.
Since they are.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Perfect.
right, so you have your Friendsgiving already. You got your Thanksgiving coming up. Have a wonderful, blessed one.
Yes.
We wish
we
really
you.
Wonderful to get to meet you both.
Thank you.
And, with that being said, thank you, studio audience. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We are out of time. Thank you, Monique and Latifah, for being here and for letting us follow their journey. And thanks to all of you at home for sharing the Thanksgiving season with us. We are truly thankful for each and every one of you. That's the honest truth. Head to the2.com, enter social media for all of you. Have a fabulous Thanksgiving, everybody!
And likewise, ladies and gentlemen, I was shopping so I could shore up. I always cook everything. I only celebrate a couple of holidays. I don't celebrate all of them. They don't correspond to me. But Thanksgiving, despite its beginning and the abuse of the Native Americans, the term giving thanks. Well, every day is Thanksgiving, of course. But on this day that we select as Thanksgiving, I just use it as a day to give thanks and praise. As I've aged, I don't like to eat a lot of food like I used to, because I found that that food don't come out of me and sits and lingers. And then I get to a point where I got too many leftovers sometimes. I always cook for myself. I used to cook for the community and give food away, particularly when I was in Oakland and some of my earlier days here. And when I came back from Oakland and moved into LA. But there is one thing about Thanksgiving that I miss. I miss one damn thing. Now, I normally go to GRX house. Now, I always cook my own food, and I can burn. I cook. I don't try to do a full spread, but there'd be certain things on during this holiday season that you just don't see at your supermarket all the time. So, you know, I'm going to tell you what my menu will be for tomorrow. I'm going to have deep fried oysters. But I am going to have deep fried oysters using the traditional chef method of egg yolk, flour, panko breadcrumb. GRX told me I needed to get some panko breadcrumb if I wanted to get my fry on properly. So I listened to him, and I did that. And I tested it a week ago. It worked perfectly. Okay? I didn't get the Italian or I didn't find any fine ground panko breadcrumbs, but you know, it's a 3-step method. Flour dip in bread. But just make sure that the bread is the last thing you add to the outer. Gonna have our fried oysters. I want to barbecue beef ribs and turkey wings. And I will. Because I have it in the pit. Potato salad. And I'm gonna enhance it because I didn't make it. I didn't have time to make it. I do have time. But I'm not going to spend my day trying to create a meal just for me. All day creating a meal. I'm going to do my, you know, I'm going to put it down. You would wish you were here. However, I'm not going to make potato salad. I'm going to enhance the store-bought potato salad. Going to do a pot of greens. Going to use some of my greens in the backyard. and a big can of store collard greens and mix all that in and get that right. I'll probably be cooking at 1 a.m. in the morning. Then I'm going to cook until I'm done. Now, the one thing I miss, and I'm going to give her this, is my ex-wife's deviled egg. I ain't had deviled eggs at that level since I became divorced. And that was in 2000. So it's 17 years later, and I'm craving them same damn deviled eggs. So I pulled up the recipe on classic deviled eggs. I got everything I need to put them eggs together. They say you only need 6. I got 12. I'm going to make them deviled eggs happen. Now, I understand I might not reach the level of satisfaction with the deviled eggs because my ex-wife didn't make them. And that is what she gets to, you know, in a tall salad. She can do all that type of stuff. The rest of the big cooking, I got this, baby. Let me do this. This is the Marty Marr Soul Food Kitchen. Every day. So I'm in the market this morning trying to buy some extra excrement so I can put into my meal tomorrow. I needed some garlic. I needed some celery. I needed some unsalted butter. Then I forgot the nutmeg and the damn paprika. I forgot that. Cranberry sauce, I got it. Oil, vinegar, I got it. But I didn't have nutmeg or paprika. Baked, already baked. I baked them last night. All the sweet potatoes, the little small ones that make the good pie. You know, y'all think it's about them big ones. No, no, no. Better go to rehab. You need to know how to cook. I'm in the market. Brother Taylor, he had stovetop something. And I said, bro, where'd you get that? I need to get it. There, you know. You go to the supermarket today or tomorrow or any time this week, it was like the 110 freeway. It focuses everywhere. He said, well, I got the wrong stuff. I was going to get the shit out of his car, take his food that he was going to put back because I thought that's what I needed. But he had cornbread stovetop. I said, nah, I just need regular stovetop. So then we ended up in a conversation as he directed me all the way across the store to find it. Because I just over these, you know, normally this stuff be popped out in the aisle. I couldn't find it. It's like a treasure hunt trying to find the food. Also, I never got the gravy. Now, I don't actually need turkey gravy because I can make some on my own and it'll have a smoke taste to it the way I want it after I barbecue the turkey wing. And then I know how to make gravy, all that. So I got all my butter, I grow my own chives. We got that part. We got that part down. Got enough flour. Got all that part down. But it would have been cool to get a little bottle of turkey gravy, or at least beef gravy. Chicken gravy doesn't work for me during this holiday. If I wanted to fake it, I could use cream of mushroom Campbell's condensed soup, and you'll be surprised what you could pull off with that. Even shrimp etouffee, folks. Bouillabaisse, all kind of stuff. But I digress. So I'm in the market. I see this sister. After I see this brother the day before, he like, I'm trying to learn how to cook. And he looked like he was about 45. I said, bro, this is the greatest day to learn. he said, my mama said I needed to get this, this, and the other. And then somebody else said, I said, well, hold up, bro. I'm going to tell you what I do. He said, I'm putting this back because this is a cornbread mix. I said, well, you know you can combine both the cornbread mix with the tabletop stuffing turkey mix and expand it. And then, you know, you just finally chop up some stuff. And I didn't go all into it, but, you know, you could just finally chop up some celery and onions and add a little seasoning, salt and pepper always. And all we use here is cracked pepper. I moved away from tabletop pepper, and then my digestion is better with cracked pepper. Also, white pepper. You can find that in the little $99.50 Mexican sections of those aisles sometimes in these supermarkets where they got all the packs of seasoning. So I said, well, you know, you can combine this and this, that, and the other. He goes, well, bruh, you're like, you know something. I said, well, bruh, I know how to cook. Again, I'm the soul food man, the first one. I did this. I do this. First time I needed to cook a turkey, I called my mom, her how to do the turkey. Then I called my partner's mom and asked her. Then I called executive, the vice president's mother, and asked her of State Farm because I was cool with that family. I asked like 3-4 families how to do this. And I got great information, and I combined it all. But what my mother really told me about cooking the turkey was the most valuable. She like put an orange in the base of the turkey, a stick of butter, heavily season it inside, and make sure it's thawed before you put it in the oven. Don't try to overcook it or burn it. Just leave it at, I think she said, leave it at about 375, 350, and go on about your business. And if you start it at 11 p.m., when you get up in the morning, you might have a turkey that's nearly ready. So all of that information, and then rubbing butter on the outside and sticking cloves of garlic on the inside between the skin and all this and that and butter between and seasoning and all that just came. But when I did the turkey, I made it. But my ex-wife had the damn deviled egg. I don't make deviled eggs. I'm going to make them today and tomorrow. So I'm telling this brother yesterday how to get his cook on and to pay attention. Don't disagree with your mama in terms of what she asked you to get. He was like, well, she asked me to get this and that. And then he said, he asked some people in the store, what should I get? I said, dude, don't do that. Not if she cooked. You ain't cooking it. For who you eating it? So you done grew up with how it's been cooked. Do what she asked. He too old to come out here to get it. That's your job. You ain't here to put your cooking on trial that you've loved all these years. And you 45 years old. What's wrong with you, bro? Then came the conversation about it. Ain't it time for you to learn how to cook? He said, I'm trying. That's why I'm out here. I'm talking to you. I said, bro, that's easy, dude. You go back, get what she asked for, go back in there and just look at what she's doing and pay attention. So, this morning I go back to the supermarket thinking I'm going to get everything I want, and I still left out the nutmeg. The white onion, one white onion, or one whole onion. I'll take a yellow one, or a red one at this point. But I just need one whole onion, nutmeg, and I would still like to get a bottle of gravy, beef or turkey.
and I worked with it. And I have to have I can't even think of what I got to have. Paprika. I got to get paprika and nutmeg. I don't need the nutmeg for the deviled eggs that I plan to make, but I got to get it for the custard potato. So I make a custard potato that's like the pie with no crust, but the pie is in the pie and the crust is the pie and and it's all beautiful and goodness and honey and all this old stuff and brown sugar. I got all that part. But I don't have the other stuff. So then I'm in here this morning trying to deal, you know, you're moving down like the 110 freeway in the supermarket. Everybody's out. I know I got a show to do. Boom. Land at a spot to get what I needed. I picked up some of what I needed. Saw an old girl that I see normally at a spot where I'm always at. She looked at me like, what are you doing picking up? I said, I can cook. I got to cook my own meal. I said, I burn. I can cook. She goes, your wife must be very happy of you. And I was like, I've been seeing you for like 4 or 5 years, and you ain't never, 3 or 4 years, you ain't never seen me with no wife. See me talking to folks, but that ain't not, hey, what's wrong with you? But then I said, that's how, my brain went. I was like, oh no, sister, I'm divorced. I said, she used to love the food, but I'm divorced. And then she looked at me hard and like, I am too. I know all about that. I said, well, all right then. I need to get this food because, again, the supermarket was like the 110 freeway at rush hour. I need to get up in and out. All right, I'll holler at you because I'm going to see you again tomorrow anyway, the next day. See you every other day. Huh. I really want to cook some deviled eggs. That's my point. I have missed that taste. I haven't had the level of deviled eggs that I'm accustomed to. And I do like them with relish. Okay, so tomorrow, if I don't do nothing else, I may flub on all my other courses. Again, I'm going to do some beef ribs on the grill. Here in Los Angeles, it is literally 85 degrees. It is hot, hot. So it's, you know, beer, grill, eat. Football, and we're going to have our full on-guard table jazz mix tomorrow. I may try to do something extra if I get the time, but I'm not going to promise that. But it's going to be full on-guard Latin jazz, straight-ahead jazz, what we call sometimes soft jazz, as well as fusion jazz, as well as rock jazz, and some R&B, and we're going to slip in a little bit more Christmas because it's that time. You know, I'm just saying, but I got to get these damn deviled eggs out of my craw. It's like, you know, this is on my mind. So I just pulled up the recipe online. It's a classic recipe. I don't think that I'll be able to outdo my ex-wife's deviled eggs. I don't even think I'll be able to outdo GRX's wife's deviled eggs. But
none of them stand in my gumbo category. I don't give a damn what they think. Or jambalaya, if I have to go there. This is the Marty Smith Show.
We'll be right back. Sugar, babe, I get high off of love, don't know how to behave.